Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
We're so glad that you decided to tune in today and to be with us. And I'm excited to conclude the series that we've been in for the last few weeks called Forged by Faith. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Word here. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 13 through 21. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and it reads like this. It says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Right? "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. You be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he has been revealed. He was revealed in these last days and in these last times for your sake. The word tells us through him, we all believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in God." Your faith and your hope are in God. As I normally tell you to do, man, stick something in your Bible right there. We're going to come back to that 1 Peter chapter 1, but I want to check out one more passage of scripture, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 9 and 10, and then we'll jump into our Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says this. It says, "So we make it our goal. We make it our goal to please him." Who's the him? Referring to God. "Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether they are good or bad." Let's take a moment here to pray, and then we'll jump into our Word. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to just hear your Word, God, to hear your heart once again. I pray that as we communicate the gospel, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be with me where I am in this moment, Lord, but that you'd also be with everyone tuning in, whether they're in their car, in their home, or at their job, Lord, that you have appointed them for this time to hear this message today. And so, Lord, I pray that as we share it, as we like it, as we send it to our friends and family or loved ones that may need to hear an encouraging word this week, Lord, that you would allow us to be used. Lord, help us to open our ears today to hear what you have to say. Lord, help us to open our heart, Lord, so that we can understand and know exactly what your Word tells us. We thank you so much that your Word is true and that it's for us and it's given to us by you so that we can know how to live. And we give you the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, we're in a series Forged by Faith, and I'm going to preach a message today called So Fresh, So Clean. So Fresh, So Clean. I want to thank you as well for taking this journey with us. If you've been tuning in over the last 6 weeks, right, we've been communicating what it means to be forged by faith. We've been communicating, right, what it means, and we've been talking about, right, forging ourselves by faith, right, when we had the sword. You know, I had to pull it out one more time. I couldn't go the last week and not talk about the sword, right? We've been talking about what it means to be forged, and we've been talking about kind of the steps that it takes, right, to forge a knife or to forge an edged sword like this one. And I've been flashing it and waving around, and my wife's been freaking out because I've been doing that. But I'm doing that, right, just so that we can have an image in our minds of what the end result is, right? So that we can have something in our minds and understand, okay, we started with just a piece of metal, and then this is what we're trying to end up as, right? It's something that is durable. It's something that we said, right, is strong and it's balanced and that we can use, that is useful for service. This is why we've been showing this as an example to you every week. And my hope is that as we've been teaching this, that through the teaching, that you've gained an understanding of what it means to be forged by faith, right? And what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, that you would be a person that would believe, that you would be a person that would trust, that you would be a person that would obey, but also that you'd be a person that would take action, that would be a part of your life, that you would live by faith. That you'd live by faith, that would be a part of your existence. That would be a part of how you choose to live, right? And we've been saying that faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. I told you at the top of this series, if there's anything that I want you to get this year, is you understanding that faith is a choice, and it's a choice that you have to make. On your own. No one can make that choice for you. You have to choose to forge yourself. I can preach to you all I can, but I can't make you make that choice. It's something that you have to do for yourself, right? You have to make faith your choice. And we saw in Hebrews 11, 2, that's what the ancients were commended for, right? Because they made the choice of faith. And the word in Hebrews 11 gives us an example. Because they did this, this happened, right? By faith, they did this, and this thing happened. And that's an example to us of how we can and should live by faith. That really there should be something that motivates us to, as believers, to make the same choice of faith that they did. That we are making that choice of faith on our own. And why are we doing that? It's because, right, whatever motivates us is going to help us to push towards whatever the end result will be. Whatever that end result will be, right? We said Hebrews 11, 6, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone, right, who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. That means that you're making a decision. You're making a choice to have faith. You're making a choice to believe. You're making the choice consistently to trust and to obey and to take action, because you understand, right? One, that you can't please God without faith. And then the word goes on to say that anyone who believes must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's your goal. That's your focus. And so for us, the ultimate motivation for us to choose a life lived by faith is knowing that in the end, that God is pleased. That the motivation isn't the reward. I know, right, sometimes we like to think, oh, it's money, or it's a house, or it's a wife, or it's a car, or it's all these things. No, your motivation should be, man, I want to please God. That's the thing that makes me tick. That's the thing that wakes me up. God, how can I please you today? That for us is the ultimate motivation. And we read that earlier, that 2 Corinthians 5, right? We make that our goal. We make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody said, ooh, right? And it's so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body. Whether those things that you did are good or whether the things that you're doing right now are bad. At some point, we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we are going to receive what we're due based on our actions. And so that's why we've been telling you what we want you to do is to live by faith. And we're living by faith, knowing that at some point we're going to be judged. At some point we're going to be judged. And that's why I'm telling you, hey, you should live by faith, right? And we're going to be judged according to God's standards. And we're going to be judged according to our actions. And we're going to be judged, right, according to what we do with the truth that has been revealed to us. And we're going to be judged according to the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And so, again, that's why we're encouraging you to be forged by faith and to live by faith. Now, some of you, when I said, man, you're going to be judged, you're like, see, I told you, man, see, God's just trying to get me and he wants to do better. No, that's not what I'm saying. You're going to be judged. And I know for a lot of us, when we think about being judged, that brings a feeling of fear, right? It brings a feeling of trepidation. It brings a feeling that you don't like to have. Well, I don't want anybody to judge me. You're going to be judged. All of us are based on our action. But really, on the criteria that I just named, if I'm living by faith, that should actually bring me a feeling of relief. That when I think about judgment, that I'm not scared or afraid of it because I've been living by faith. Actually, as Hebrews 11:1 says, that gives me confidence and assurance that when I stand before the Lord, I can look back down the annals of my life and see, actually, Lord, you know what? I've been living by faith, that I've been living for you. And that's why I can stand before you in relief. Because one, I know that if I'm judged, that it's not just some arbitrary judgment, that it's not some arbitrary process, but that actually that it's done with some thought and it's been done with some explanation. I don't mind being judged in that way. But two, as believers, it should give us that confidence and assurance because we know what we believe. So when we stand before the Lord, we're standing before him knowing that we have put our trust in him. We know what we believe, we know who we believe, and we know why we believe it. And we know that we've made the choice to live by faith. And we're living by faith in the complete work that Jesus Christ has already done on our behalf. It's not anything that you've done, but it's the work that he's done. That's what our belief and our trust is in. And not just that we choose to believe either, but that even above that, that for the rest of our lives that we know that we're choosing to consistently submit ourselves to the work that he did. That's what we are forging our faith in. And so what do? Man, we gave you all these steps on how to go from just a hunk of metal into a sword, into a blade, that you would be forged into something that was powerful, that was greater than you could have ever imagined on your own. And let me roll you through these steps really quickly of what we talked about, right? We said that the first thing that you do is to be forged, that, man, you're going to be placed into the fire. And really for us, it's us allowing ourselves or submitting ourselves to the process of being placed back into the fire. And what happens, right? We're placed into the fire and then we're pulled out and we go through what's called a hammering process. And man, stuff is being chipped away that doesn't look like what we need it to look like. That doesn't look like God or doesn't look like what our faith is. That actually we're being forged, we're being refined and we're being tested and we're being tried. tried in the fire. Right, in the second week, we told you this, that the second part of that process in being forged by faith is annealing, right? And through that annealing process, that we're being insulated, we're being wrapped, or we're being submerged like sand and fully engulfed into the word of God, into the knowledge of God. And we need that, right, to understand the faith that we're being pushed into. Right. And then, right, you've gone through the annealing process and each thing requires some fire. And the third thing that you're going to do, you pull back out of the fire after annealing. And then there's some grinding that happens. Right. And there's grinding. And in that grinding week, right, we said that we're being sharpened and smoothed by crushing and friction of obedience. And what do we say, right? We said that obedience is not a grind. It's not something that we regret. It's not something that we fear, but actually obedience is the grind, right? It's us making the choice to do the work of faith, that we are choosing to be obedient to what the word says, right? And then the next step we said it was hardening, that we are taking ourselves and we are quenching together with those around us, with the body of Christ, with the family of believers. And we're choosing to come together and to bring others close to us so that we have some accountability. We have some covenants, we have some connection, and so that we don't become warped, right? Because this can become warped if the molecules aren't set right. It can become warped or it can become actually fractured. And what we don't want to happen to you is you start going through this process and you get away from the body of Christ and you get away from other people of faith who are trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do and living this faith life. And then you get out into the world and now you're warped and your perspective is wrong. No, actually, man, we're gonna become hardened. Our faith is gonna be strong when we come together. And then last week we said, okay, well, after hardening, what has to happen is that we have to be tempered. Because if you're just hardened and there's no flexibility added, what can actually happen is, right, the blade is brittle. It's hard. And if you try to use it, right, and as there's no flexibility added, it could actually break. What you need is some elasticity. What's needed is, we said this last week, right, is consistency of resiliency, that even if I face something tough and I'm using my faith against that I'm not just going to shatter, but actually because there's some stretching and some flexibility built in, that when I face those things, I can bounce back and continue to move into the things that God has for me, that I have the ability to bend, that I have the ability to adjust and to change without breaking. And so what we're believing is that through that process that we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, that God rewards those who are willing to go through that process, those that are willing to earnestly seek him and be forged by faith, who live by faith through this process. And I love what God does, because he doesn't just want us to go through the process, but actually what he has in store for those who do it is amazing things. Proverbs 2:7 says he holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and he protects the way of his faithful ones. I love that. Let's read that again. Proverbs 2:7 says, he holds success in store for the upright, and he is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful ones. If we're all going to face judgment, if we're all going to receive what we're due because of our actions in this body, then it would behoove us to consistently live our lives in such a way that pleases God. I want to live in a way where I don't have to be in regret, But I'm living in a way where I'm receiving and achieving success in my life. And I know that I have a shield when things come. I know that I'm guarded against the enemy. And I know that I'm protected in everything that I do. That is what I'm getting because I'm living and walking this out. That when we're determined to live lives that are upright and blameless and just and faithful. Romans 12:1 describes this so well. What does it look like, right? When if we're going to do this well, what does that look like? How do we begin to live this out? Romans 12:1, you know this. Paul says here, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. There are some translations that say that this is a reasonable sacrifice. It's something reasonable that you're being asked of. What are you doing, right? When you do that, when you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, it's the last part of the forging process. It's polishing, right? Because you've been forged and annealed and hardened and grinded and all those things. But after all of that work, you want to look good and you want who you become to be pleasing to God. And so, man, you have to be polished. Right. This process, what it does when you polish, it adds the final touches to your sword to make it durable, to make it shiny, to make it visually appealing. Right. You polish it so that when you look at it, you can say, wow, it has a pop to it. It has an amazing look to it that if I could put it in the terms, man, it's so fresh and it's so clean. Right. It's so fresh, man. I love that there's a rap song that says, man, ain't nobody dope as me. I'm just so fresh, so clean. And that's amazing. Right. For those of you like, I don't know what that means. Right. It means you look really good, that you look amazing. And when you're polished, that means you look good like that. And when you look good, you feel good. Let me tell you, this week has been a tough week. Why? Because a lot of us, some of us have been without electricity. That's why we can't even meet in the building right now because there's no power. But then a lot of us, like my family, you had to go without water. Whew, that was tough. It's been a tough week having to go without water. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a man and I have manly smells. This is life. It's what it is, y'all. And so, man, after about day two of not showering, can I be honest? I was like, hey, I'm not feeling so great. I need something's gotta happen. I wanted a shower. I was like, man, can I? And so we called up my wife's aunt, like she lives about 5-7 minutes away from us. Hey, can I come over and get a shower? And man, when I got the shower, it just felt like new life had come into me. I was like, okay, you can't tell me anything. I know I look good and I smell good right now. And I came home, my wife was like, oh, there's something different about you. I said, yeah, girl, I'm fresh and I'm clean. Like I feel like a new person. But when we are polished, when we're living by faith, that's how when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, that's how we should be looking. Like, you know what? I know how I've lived. I know how I've maintained myself. I know what my character is. And I'm God. I'm presenting myself to you. I'm offering myself to you so fresh and so clean. I'm offering myself to you in a way that's not dirty. And it's really in the way that you created us to be, that we would be fresh and clean, that actually by faith that we're living holy lives. That's what I mean by so fresh and so clean, because it's great to have faith, but it's another thing to walk it out. And when you walk it out, what that looks like when you're living by faith, that's holiness, that we're saying, you know what, I'm going to offer myself sacrificially to God. And instead of running away from the judgment because I'm scared, I know that I have done the best I can to live a holy life. And instead of running away from judgment, actually, I'm preparing myself. I'm cleansing myself. I'm making sure that I'm holy and separated so that when I come before the Lord, man, I know I'm coming before Him in the way that I should. Romans 12:2, right? How do we do this? It tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Just how I was when I hopped in the shower and hopped out, I felt like a new man. I felt transformed. That was by the renewing of my body. But also what happens, right, is there should be a transforming in our mind by the renewing of our mind. When we go to the word, when we go back to this process of being forged by faith, that every day we wake up saying, you know what, Lord, I choose you again. I choose to live holy again. I choose to go back into the fire again. I choose to be obedient again. I choose to trust again. And as we're in that process, what the word tells us is that we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's through living a holy life that I can come to the throne of grace without fear. I can come to the judgment seat of Christ without worrying about who I am. I can come knowing that I've done my best to live according to his word. Our focus is not on the world standard. We're not trying to conform to what the world is doing or the world's ways or trying to live like social media is. But actually, we're living to please God through our faith. Paul talks about this in Ephesians. He instructs us as husbands, right? Love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He sacrificed and he gave himself up for her to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing with the water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that's my charge to us today, that we would live by faith in a way that is without blame, that's without blemish, that's without wrinkle or stain, that we would live lives that are fresh and clean. You weren't designed to be dirty. You weren't designed to live like how the world does. You were designed to be someone that chooses to please God. And that's something that we do by faith. We were designed by God to live holy lives. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. What did he do? He took people that were flawed and messed up, but through Christ has cleansed them to allow them to be acceptable in his sight. Why? God is holy. And as long as we are filthy, as long as we're unclean, we can't come in contact with God. And that's why we had to have an advocate. That's why we had to have a shower in Jesus Christ to bring us close to God through him. One of the things about holiness that you hear people say, well, when people hear holiness, what they often hear is perfect. What they often hear is perfect. And that's not what I'm saying, because as much as you would try, you can't be perfect. None of us is. None of us can achieve perfection on our own. But the acceptable sacrifice that we're supposed to give to God is one without blemish. So, man, how do we resolve that? How is that fixed? If I'm blemished and I'm stained in my natural state, but God is holy, how do I get to him? It's through Christ and Christ's perfection. And it's Christ's perfection that remedies and fixes our imperfection. It's us being connected to him that cancels out the flaws that are in us and allows us to come close to God. Don't kid yourself. You're not perfect on your own, but it's through Christ that you can be holy. It's through Christ that you understand what pleases God. It's through making the choice of faith every day that you can confidently and assuredly know where you stand with God, so that when it's your time to stand before the throne, that you can stand there knowing that you are made right with the Lord, that you are polished, that you are so fresh and so clean. And that's why this 1 Peter 1 chapter, this passage is so important. And it tells us again, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. That this decision that we're making is one we're making alert. Nobody's hoodwinked you. Nobody's bamboozled you into being holy or to living by faith. But it's a decision that you made on your own. Verse 14 says we do it as obedient children. Right. And it tells us, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy. Be holy. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who will judge you and judges each person's work impartially. Live out your time as foreigners here. We're foreigners. This isn't our home. But live out this time here in reverent fear. What does that mean? That means that I'm choosing to revere God. That I'm living my life in a conspicuous, in a way that I am meticulous and careful and thought out about what it is that I do in this body and on this earth. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his blood that cleanses us, his blood that sets us free. He was a lamb without a blemish or a defect, that it's his precious blood that has cleansed us. And he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. He was revealed to us so that we would know how to get to God. And it's through him that we're able to believe in God. It's through him that we're able to live by faith. It's through him who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and our hope is in God. I'm going to close with this. We're forged by faith into something greater than we were. We started off as just a piece of metal or just a piece of flesh. But it's through being forged by faith, through choosing to live a life of faith, that we can become something greater than we ever thought that we'd be. And so our pursuit is to be accepted by God, to present ourselves, to offer ourselves in a way that is presentable, that is recognizable by him. Why? Because at some point we're going to be judged. And if how I'm forged, if how I live my life will affect my eternity, if how I live every day is going to affect how I'm judged, then I want to live in a way that's going to allow me to reap rewards, that's going to allow me through good actions to be accepted by the Father. It's going to allow me to be positioned well. I want to be polished. I want to live a life then that's holy. I want to live a life then that is fresh and that is clean and that honors God by faith. For those of you who are watching us today, wherever you are, in your home, in your car, at your job, can you say that you've been living your life in a polished way, that even when people see you, if they were to look behind the camera, that they would see someone that is living an honorable way, that is living a holy and separated life, a life that is devoted to God, a life that is forged by faith. If you can say that with honesty, great, you're on the right path. But if you're like how I was for a long time and you can't really say that, you don't know. You don't know if you're living the right way. You don't know what it means to live by faith. And I mean, I want to give you an opportunity right here to begin to align yourself with God. I want to pray for you and give you a chance in this moment to get right with God and begin to start on this process of being forged by faith. And I just want to pray for you and give you an opportunity to just accept the Lord in your life. In the same way that God allowed Jesus to be brought here and cleansed us through his blood, I want to give you that chance. I want to give you an opportunity here to accept Christ and accept the work that he's done so that you can know and that you can live in a way that if you were to step in front of his judgment seat tomorrow, that you would know that you were in the right place. So let me pray for you. Wherever you are, I just want you to take a moment to bow your head and then we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. Lord, I thank you for every single person that's tuning in today. I thank you, God, that, man, they're making a decision, even just by watching, of connecting with you. And Lord, as we take, man, just these very next steps, as we begin to speak out what we believe, that we believe in you, that we trust in you, that we repent of our sins, anything else, Lord, that you would help us to understand what it means to be holy, that you would help us understand what it means to live by faith. Lord, that you would help us to leave anything that does not resemble you, anything that's flawed, anything that has a blemish, anything that is disturbed. Lord, we recognize that, man, we can't stand with that being in our lives. But Lord, we choose today to walk with you. We choose today to be holy and to live a holy life. And we know the only way that we can do that is through Christ. And so, Lord, as we take this next moment to pray this prayer of salvation, if there's anyone that's watching right now that doesn't know the Lord, that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you would give them a confidence and a bravery in this next moment to say this prayer of faith, that they can begin to walk down this process of being forged by faith. Let's take a moment here. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to say just one more prayer here, and I want you to say it with me. I'm going to say a prayer and I want you to repeat it after me. And then by saying that prayer, what you're doing is dedicating your life, saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you with everything that I am. So say these words with me, and then I'll give you some instructions on the back end. Let's pray together. As loud as you can, wherever you are, say with me, Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for caring about me. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin and my shame and my guilt. I repent today of my sin and I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer and you believed it, we want you to know that that's the first step in you having a life where you're following the Lord. And we want to do everything that we can to connect with you as a church. And we want to know if you made that decision today. So if you're watching us online, man, if you made a decision right now, just let us know in the chat. What you can also do is send us an email or a text. You can go to our website, cityheartjackson.com, and you can connect with us that way. But man, I'm so grateful that you decided to join us for worship and the word today. I pray that you were blessed from wherever you are. Our hope and our goal is to be back next week. So make sure you stay tuned to social media and the announcements that are about to come up about everything that's going on at City Heart Church. God bless you. Have a great day. We love you.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.